Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We celebrate today the 28th Sunday of ordinary time. And in today's Gospel, we will hear 10 lepers crying out and saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." We always, at the beginning of the Mass, also ask for this pity, ask for mercy, preparing ourselves for celebration of the Mass. We will do this also in this moment.
Lord Jesus, you came to gather the nations into the peace of God's kingdom. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you come in word and sacrament to strengthen us in holiness. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you will come in glory with salvation for your people. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing that he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, pleasant memories. I can still remember as a child, sister saying to us in school, in this gospel, Jesus is teaching us all about the importance of saying thank you. And of course, that is true. But there really is so much, much more. It's really more about the difference between simply being cured and being healed. You know, there's a fantastic connection between this gospel and the first reading from the second book of Kings, although you would never know it based on the tiny little snippet we got during that first reading. The second book of Kings tells the story of a man named Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian. And just like today, Jews and Syrians did not get along. Not at all. Back then, it was because, you know, around 500 years before the time of Christ, the Syrians invaded the northern kingdom of Israel and conquered them and defeated them brutally, really. Able-bodied men were killed, slaughtered. Women and children were taken as slaves. And in addition, the Syrians brought with them to that Jewish land, that Jewish territory, their own pagan faith. They even set up an alternative, a counter-temple on Mount Gerizim in the capital of Samaria, which is still there today. And over time, those who were Jews started to become followers of these pagan gods, or at least a mixture. And so other Jews consider them as traitors to the faith. Okay, now Naaman the Syrian, we're told in Scripture, is actually a good man, a man of valor. He was actually a very important man. He was the commander of the army of the king of Syria, a very prominent position. But he was a leper. Now, Naaman's wife had a servant girl, a slave. She was actually one of the Jewish girls taken as captive during the conquest. And she, but Naaman and his wife treated her very, very well, and they all got along. Well, this Jewish girl, she told Naaman's wife about the great God of Israel, and how he would send marvelous prophets among his people that were able to work wondrous deeds, even perhaps to cure leprosy. So Naaman's wife runs and tells Naaman about this God of Israel. And so Naaman goes to see his king and asks for permission to visit the God of Israel with the request of a favor that he be cured of his leprosy. And Naaman's king agrees to send him. As a matter of fact, Naaman's king said, "I will even send a letter of referral ahead of you, so that when you arrive, the king knows it's I, the other king, who has sent you." In exchange for this favor, he also sent 150 pounds of gold, 750 pounds of silver, as well as some other things. I guess some things never change. When a favor, you pay for it. Well, when the king of Israel gets this letter from the king of Syria, he's very upset. He said, "Who does this king think that I am? I don't have such power. I can't do the impossible. Only God can cure leprosy." Remember those words. Those are very important for what's to come here. Only God can cure leprosy. You see, though, the real reason the king of Israel is afraid, he thinks this is a ruse by the Syrian king, who's going to ask him to do something impossible, and when he can't do it, he can be offended, and it'll be the basis for a war. That's why he's upset. Well, the prophet Elisha gets word that the king of Israel is upset. So he sends word to him and says, "Just send Naaman to me." And that's what the king does. So Naaman shows up at the house, at the home of the prophet Elisha, with his full entourage, with his horses, with his chariots, it must have been quite a sight to behold. You see, Naaman thought that Elisha the prophet would come out and work a spectacular miracle in the sight of everyone, curing Naaman of his leprosy. But Elisha knows as well that he can't cure leprosy. Only God can cure leprosy. So Elisha doesn't even go out to greet Naaman. Instead, he sends a messenger telling Naaman what he is to do. Now, this is where our first reading picks up. Left a lot out, right? Now, Naaman is actually quite offended at this. First, he's a visiting dignitary, a very powerful person from a faraway land, and he's just been snubbed by the prophet Elisha. So that's not happy. He's not happy about that. And plus, what did Elisha tell him to do? He told him to go into the Jordan River and wash, right? Naaman said, "What? You want me to go into that muddy little creek that you call the Jordan River and wash? I could have stayed home in Syria and washed in a much nicer river." So he's very upset. But one of the servants actually calms him down and says, "Look, you came all this way. Just try doing what the prophet said and see what happens." So Naaman goes, he washes in the Jordan River as prescribed, and lo and behold, he is cured of his leprosy. He's not just cured, he's changed down to the core of his very being. More than cured, he is healed.
he comes out with this remarkable statement, I know now that there is no God but the God of Israel. You see, his body was healed, but more than his body was healed, his soul was healed. A changed man. He returns home to Syria. He doesn't stay there, but he returns home as a Jew, as a follower, a worshiper of the God of Israel. And we know that because it said he asked Elisha if he could have, what, 2 donkey loads of soil to bring back with him. You see, back then, the God of a region was associated with the land of the region. Not so different today, is it, right, with what's going on in Palestine and so forth. But Naaman felt that, okay, in order to worship the God of Israel properly, he needed to have some of that land with him. And so he brings back the soil back to Syria. And he is a forever changed person. Okay. Now fast forward to the gospel. Remember those words, the king of Israel? Only God can cure lepers? Well, when Jesus begins his public ministry, what does he seem to do more than anything else? He cures lepers, right? Leprosy was a fatal disease, but it was a slow, horrible death. It wasn't a pleasant disease to have, and it was always fatal if it was really leprosy. What's more, it was contagious. So people with leprosy basically had to remain quarantined. The law of Moses, if you look, is very clear about what lepers must do. They must be separated from the rest of the community. They must be isolated, quarantined. And if from a distance they should hear someone approaching, the law of Moses requires that they shout out, unclean, unclean. In other words, warning the people that are coming, I'm contagious. You better keep clear of me. Now you know, the 10 lepers in today's gospel were observing the law of Moses. They approached Jesus, but only from a distance. But instead of shouting, unclean, instead, they said what? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They said the same words that we say. How many times during the Mass? At the beginning of the Mass, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy on us. Jesus, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. They said the words, the same words we say today. Why? Because you know well that all of us here too are lepers. Maybe not lepers with a skin disease, but lepers just the same, a spiritual leprosy that can kill our soul. That leprosy is known as sin. And that disease, once again, only God can cure. So we cry, Lord, have mercy on us. Now, Jesus cured 10 lepers, but only one of them, not a Jew, a Samaritan, a descendant of the Syrians that we just heard about in that first reading. He is not only cured, he is healed. He is forever changed. Unlike the other 9, him, a foreigner, an outsider, understands that it's not the gift, but the giver of the gift that really matters. He returns to Jesus. He throws himself at the feet of Jesus. He prostrates himself, a posture reserved for God alone, and he offers thanks. Eucharista, thanks. His encounter not only cured his body, it healed his soul. And Jesus then gives him even a greater gift. He says, go, your faith has saved you. The gift of salvation. Now, sometimes it takes an outsider to show us all the things that we take for granted. What sort of things do you and I take for granted? I'll give you an example. This year, it just so happened that our parish RCIA program began on right around the same time that that statistic was published, that an alarming number of Catholics struggle with or do not believe the Catholic teaching of the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. That was even in the bulletin, if you recall. Okay? Now, just for the record, that during the Mass, during the celebration of the Eucharist, that bread and wine, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the instrument of the priest who stands in the person of Christ, cease to be bread and wine. They become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. They are changed. They are changed in their very nature, in their very substance, and they become the living presence of Jesus, really, truly, substantially, sacramentally present. And so it is Jesus who we consume at Holy Communion. If anyone here struggles with that, please, please talk to me. Please talk to Father Marek. We're not going to bite your head off. Talk to us about this. It is that important. But as I was saying, because of this rather alarming statistic that there are Catholics out there who struggle with this teaching, we began our very first session of RCIA with a discussion about the centrality of the Eucharist in the Catholic faith. Now, you might well imagine, if you're someone who has never heard that teaching before, it's a rather startling thing. One of the people in the room, someone there because they wish to become Catholic, wanted to be sure they were hearing what they thought they were hearing, so they asked for clarification. They asked, are you saying that that bread and wine ceased to be bread and wine and become the body and blood of Christ? I said, yes, that's what we believe. And they responded, well, you sure wouldn't know that based on how a lot of Catholics receive communion. Ouch. Ouch. Sometimes it takes an outsider to show us all that we take for granted. Reflect on this great mystery of the Eucharist today as you approach the altar to receive our Lord in Holy Communion. Every time you say those words, Lord, have mercy, recognize yourself as the leper that you are, that we all are, with that disease that only God can cure in the sacrament of reconciliation or confession. You know, Eastern Rite Catholics, speak of something that they call compunction. We might call it the gift of tears. Tears of sorrow for our sins, mixed with tears of joy because of God's great mercy. Just like that one leper today, when he realized the undeserved gift that he had been given, returned to Jesus and falls at his feet and gives him thanks with tears of sorrow, tears of joy. If you've never experienced that gift of tears, ask God. He'll surely give it to you. And then, as you come forward to receive our Lord in Holy Communion, and you find yourself fighting back those tears, stop, listen. Listen and hear Jesus say in your heart,
go, your faith has saved you.